Please stand to hear the good news from John's Gospel. Early in the morning, on the first day, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, but she saw that the stone had been removed away from the tomb. And so she ran back and told Simon Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved, saying, "They have taken our Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." So both of them made their way toward the tomb. They were running together, but the other one outran Peter. And when he got there, he bent down and he looked in and he saw the linen wrappings, but he didn't go in. And then Peter arrived and he went in the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head rolled up in a separate place. And then the other disciple, who had gotten there first also, went in and saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then they returned to their homes. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, God.
Christ emptied himself and became obedient to death.
But Christ is risen.
He is not among the dead anymore. The crucified one is risen again.
Christ has conquered by the cross.
God has rescued us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah.
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 Oh,
And there's more. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. She bent over and looked in. And there were two angels sitting where the body had been, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." And as she said this, she turned around. And she saw Jesus, but she didn't know that it was him. And he said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've moved him, just tell me where he is, and I will come get him and take him away." Jesus said, "Mary." And she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means "my teacher." And he said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended. But go and tell my sisters and brothers that I am ascending to my Abba and your Abba, to my God and your God." And she ran and told the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These children, where are the rest of the kids? Don't lose them. They're pretty special. Ooh, you have new ones. So here we are, all together and sort of dressed up. I notice a couple of hats. I notice some special dresses that match, that are pretty darn cute. I notice some things going on. What's with all this specialness? Why are we doing that? What do you think, Shannon? Why are we doing all this special stuff? It's Easter. What's Easter? Is there a Wester? No? What's Easter? Do you know what Easter is?
It's the day that everybody celebrates
Did Jesus like raise from the first grade to the second grade? No.
Jesus died.
He was dead? And then he wasn't?
He died on a cross.
Ooh, that was mean. They killed him on a cross and he was dead? That's a sad story.
Yeah.
What's so special about that?
And then
they all just got really sad?
Raised to heaven.
He actually rose up from the dead? That's weird. That doesn't happen. Do you think that actually happened? Do you think so? Yeah? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? There was this guy who lived a life full of love and full of God. And people didn't like that. And they said, "Oh, stop all that forgiveness junk. We'll show you forgiveness." And they killed him. And God said, "No, I'll show you forgiveness." And God raised him right back up to life. It was as if God was saying, all that time, he was right. He was actually full of God. He was doing exactly what God wanted. And he discovered that even when people do terrible things to you, if you do the love that God wants you to do, you will be all right no matter what happens to you. Because love is more powerful than everything in the world. Even meanness. Even death. Yeah, and then he had to die, but then after that, you know what? He never could die again. Think of that. Once you've died, you know, you can't die again, right? Ha! You're free! Yeah. So that whole thing that people would do when they would scare him and say, you need to stop or we'll kill you, they couldn't stop him. Because he wasn't afraid of death. He just believed in love, not death. Wow, freaky! That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's one of the strangest stories we have, but also one of the truest. That God makes us alive no matter what. And we know that because God made Jesus alive. I think we should say a special prayer to God and say thank you for that amazing thing. Do you think we should do that? Yeah, let's say a prayer. Let's make everybody else pray with us. Let's all hold hands or elbows or wingtips or whatever you can grab. Let's pray, God, thank you for raising Jesus. Now raise us up too. God, thank you for raising Jesus. Now raise us up too. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, join me in the prayer of the day. Holy God, we thank you and praise you for the mystery of your grace. For on the cross, Jesus, your Christ, bore all that separates us from you and from life. Yet sin and oppression and suffering and death were unable to defeat him. By his glorious resurrection, you have delivered us from the power of death. Gracious God, make us die every day to sin. Birth us anew so that we may walk in newness of life with Christ, in the joy of eternal life, and in the company of the Holy Spirit, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which you also are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, all will be made alive in Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Please stand as you are able for the Psalter. Give thanks to the Lord, who is good. God's steadfast love endures forever.
Yes, God's steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song. God has become my salvation.
Listen to
the glad songs among God's grateful. The Beloved has a hand in our lives. The Beloved has a strong and gracious hand in our lives.
Death can't touch me now.
I can live deeply.
I can fearlessly
bear forth the love of God. God created me fragile, and I am broken, but God steadfastly gives me life.
Open
my heart to gratitude, for this is the gate to God. This gratitude, this wonder is the way to God. I thank you, God, that you hear me and you save me. The stone the builders rejected has become the keystone. This is the Beloved's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We have this wonderful, beautiful, glorious Easter story of the resurrection of Jesus with this little peculiar glitch. Mary comes to the tomb and it's empty. And she thinks, well, that's weird. So she goes and gets the other disciples and they come and they look in the tomb and it's empty. And they think, well, that's weird. And then there's this little awkward moment. They go home. Now, sure enough, the story goes on. And it turns out that Mary does see the risen Christ, and she talks with him, and he sends her on her way to the disciples to tell them, I have seen the Lord. But what's with that little awkward moment there, with everybody just kind of standing around, not knowing what to think? Now, you might think that that's John, the way he tells the story, just building suspense, or maybe just making the story a little more long and convoluted like he likes to do. But read Mark, the earliest gospel. It's even worse. The women, this time there are three of them, they come to the tomb. The stone is rolled away. There are these angels that say, nope, he's not here. He's gone. They look inside and they flee. Mark doesn't say they run. They flee and they tell nobody because terror and amazement had come upon them. And that's the end of the story. In fact, that's the end of the book. That's the end of Mark. Well, what the? Why can't we have Jesus come flaming up out of the tomb and angels flapping and the choir singing a little Beethoven and some trumpets? What's with people standing around scratching their heads going, I don't know what? What's with this little hole in the middle of the Easter story? This little dark spot? I wonder. It's as if there's a long space in between the Lord is risen and I have seen the Lord. And maybe what the storytellers are trying to hint to us is that the story of the resurrection isn't just a story about the past, that once upon a time Jesus was raised from the dead. And it's not a story about the future. When you die, you get to go to heaven. After all, the resurrection isn't actually about Jesus going to an afterlife. It's about Jesus coming back to this world. It's about the present. It's about the experience of resurrection in this life. And that's not something that you either believe because somebody told you to, or hope in because it's scary not to. It's something you believe because you've seen the Lord. You've experienced resurrection. When I was young, I thought resurrection was a great metaphor, but not a real thing. But the more I described what it was a metaphor for, the more I kept seeing the real thing. Until I realized, I think it's the real thing. And now if you ask me if Jesus bodily rose from the grave, I will say, yes, Christ is risen. And if you ask why I believe that, I will say, because I have seen the Lord. I'll tell you. In order to do that, I have to tell you about the first time I died. It wasn't one of those big dramatic, you know, you die on the operating table and you go through this tunnel and you see the light and then you come back and everybody's here. It wasn't anywhere near that neat or pretty. It was long and slow and ugly. And it wasn't my body that died, it was my soul. It was about 20 years ago. Outwardly, everything looked fine. I was being a good pastor. I was doing all the right things. But inwardly, I was driven by this anxiety that I had to prove my existence. It wasn't just that I had to justify my existence. I had to actually make myself be. And if I didn't put myself out there, I would cease to exist. Now, I didn't actually believe that rationally. But I felt like it. It was so strong, I couldn't get out of it. This feeling that I just had to make myself. And so I was trying my hardest. I was driven. I was everybody's hero, everybody's savior, everybody's favorite expert. I was always right. I was pushing and pushing so hard. And I was hurting people. Completely blind to that. And people who loved me told me that. And tried to talk me out of that prison that I was in. But I'd kind of made my home there. I was pretty comfortable. It was like this big stone fortress, and I didn't even know the way out or want to find it. So God figured out a way out. God let that big stone fortress just cave in on top of me. Finally, I started to see, mostly because people kept showing me and telling me that I was hurting people, that I was betraying my own life, that what I was doing was false and messed up. And when that began to sink in, gradually I began to see that this person I was trying to be, this Steve I was trying to create, was a big hoax and not a very good one. And it felt like that Steve was dying right in front of my eyes. I couldn't keep that going. It felt like I was just crushed under the weight of this whole great big illusion that I'd been carrying for so many years. I felt just smashed flat. I felt stupid and guilty and unworthy and mad at myself and full of regret and helpless and squashed. I felt like a marshmallow when you burn it and then burn it and then burn it and there's nothing left but this thin, flaky little shell. And if you just touch it, if you just blow on it, it'll disappear in a cloud of ash. Here's why I believe in God. Because at the bottom of that wreckage, in that ruin, when I felt like my entire life was a car wreck, there was this other voice, this presence that came from so deep within me, it came from beyond me. But it wasn't just me. There was this presence that said, Steve, this Steve that you're afraid is dying, let him go. It'll be all right. It was almost unconscious, but I was aware of it. And I trusted it. I just let him go. And I felt like whoever I thought I was dying, was just gone. There was nothing there. And if there would be anything there after that, it would have to be something that God would make happen because I couldn't. I was just shrouded in death. And of course, this was all happening during Holy Week. So we get to the Good Friday service. And there's this wooden cross with seven purple candles. Drippy, drippy candles. And it's all dark, and each of those candles is being extinguished one by one with the seven last words of Christ. And as it got darker and darker, that purple wax dripping down on the cross, dripping down on the table, it looked like blood dripping down all over. And I thought, I have murdered Jesus. I'm Judas. I was so dead. And I thought, Holy Saturday. 2 days from now is Easter, and I am supposed to preach. I'm supposed to stand up and say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. How the heck? What am I could not preach that. My Christ wasn't risen yet. He was still in the grave. His body was still warm. I wasn't sure I'd actually finished crucifying him. I sat with it in the dark. On Easter morning, I preached, Christ is rising. He is rising indeed. That's as good as I could get because my Jesus still had one foot in the grave. Now, this is where the spine-tingling, tear-jerking, inspiring part of the story comes, right? No. Here's why I believe in God. Nothing happened. I went home after Easter and I was tired. And over the next days and weeks and months, slowly God began to give me a new person to be. It wasn't anything I could do. It was hard work, but I didn't do it. It was like giving birth. There's a lot of labor there, but I didn't do that. Gradually, God brought a new person to life. And I didn't just go to the dead and come back. No, I went to death and then went on to something else. It was new. It was changed. That's why Mary didn't recognize Jesus. He was changed. It was long and hard and really ugly and messy, and I wasn't very good at it. In fact, about 10 years later, I had to do that whole thing all over again. Seriously, I had to go through that whole crisis and die and let God raise me up again. And now I've learned. Resurrection always happens. But first, you have to die. And what I've learned is that God always takes what is sad and broken and powerless and turns it into something different. God takes what is messed up and mean and changes it. And I'm still working on that. Every day I die a little bit and get raised up and have to start all over again. But I absolutely trust that more than I trust anything in my life, that this love will never give up giving me life or giving you life, no matter what. I haven't had some big whoop-de-doo experience. I didn't see Jesus some afternoon and he gave me his autograph. Hasn't happened. The God I believe in is the God who gives new life over and over, especially when the old life is so rotten. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. How do I know? I have seen the Lord, and it is so cool. It's so cool. There is always resurrection. But first, you have to die. Will you pray with me? God of grace, for the mystery, the miracle, the power of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we give you thanks. We do not claim or need to understand, only to see the Lord. God of grace, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings. to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and the life giver of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, rich in mercy, out of great love for us, has made us alive together with Christ. We have been buried with Christ by baptism into death. Gracious God, we have that, and our life is hidden with Christ in you. Create in us a clean heart and put a new and right spirit within us. Forgive our sin and wash us clean in the water of new birth. Heal us, redeem us, and set us free. Through your risen Son, grant victory over the enemies of life and crush beneath your children's feet all evil powers. Amen.
Let's stand and sing.
Christ the Lord is risen, Christ the Lord is risen, yes. Christ the Lord is risen, Christ the Lord is risen, yes. He has conquered man, he has conquered man.
We die as individuals, but we are raised as one. And as one in Christ, we pray in the one Spirit. So gathered here together, we pray with each other and for each other and for all the world in the Spirit of Jesus.
Thank you.
The word we repeat in the Gospel song, Yesu, is Jesus in Chinese. So I pray for the young generations, let them live with peace, joy, and courage. This is my prayer.
Morning. I've got two. My wife and I, our niece, Debbie Gonzalez, had a baby on Thursday. The baby is 8 pounds, 8 ounces, little girl. And they called her Neve Luz Gonzalez. And it's heaven spelled backwards is the first name. We don't know what they're actually going to call her, but that ought to be interesting. And so that was one. The other one is it's my son's birthday the day after, which is Good Friday, and he turned 18. So that's a big date for us. So now we're wondering what he's going to do. I think he's got to start voting. So this is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
You know, it's really scary having a gay son out there in the world. And I pray that God will be with him every step of his life. And I would pray that God would enlighten the hearts of the people of the states in these United States, now especially those in Indiana and in Arkansas. May they see that they are oppressing people who are really, truly worthy of better. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
I ask two prayers of healing. The first is for Rick Ong. Some of you may have remembered him. He played trombone with me in the coffee house. He suffered a heart attack a week ago. He's regained consciousness, but pray for healing for him, a speedy recovery and a full recovery. My second prayer is for all those suffering with depression, particularly teenagers. Let them know they are worthy children of God and beautiful in His sight, and that life is worth living. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
I'd like to ask for prayers of healing for my father-in-law, Patrick Friel, who's going to be undergoing a procedure soon to stabilize his heart rhythms. This is my prayer.
That you hear us as we lift up silently and aloud the names of all those people and places in our prayers. For Dan, Gary, gracious God, may they know your grace. This is my prayer. We pray for one another that your blessing may fill each person gathered here today, especially our guests, that each of us may take from this place the light of your rising in our own hearts. We pray for this church that we might truly live out the gospel in this community and around the world. We remember especially those on our prayer calendar this week, Jane and Don Bungard, John and Carolyn Giroux, Will and Janice Tuffin, Charlene Twenty, and Imagine No Malaria. May your will be done in their lives. This is my prayer. We pray for all those who long for resurrection, for all who are sick or lonely or imprisoned, for those who struggle or live in fear, Grant them your grace. Grant them newness of life. And help us to make this a more healing world for them. This is my prayer. We pray for peace in the world, for the healing and reconciliation of all peoples, for the empire of your love to finally overwhelm the empire of greed and violence, for the coming of your reign of mercy and justice according to your promise. This is my prayer. Gracious God, may your risen Christ live in us, in all that we do. This is my prayer. Amen. Because we are raised, we have died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God, we have nothing that we are afraid to give, nothing that we hold back. So we give of our lives, our tithes, and our offerings for the sake of the healing of the world. In the name and the Spirit of Christ. Thank you.
Darkness, you brought light. You made covenant to be our God. You are the one who brought Christ out of death to life. You bring us out of our small lives to share in your joy. Blessed are all who come in your name, and blessed is Jesus, your Christ. For his non-violent acts against the power of oppression, he was killed.
I raised him up, earned his blood, and brought him the victory over death itself.
On the night in which Jesus gave himself for us, he gathered a table with his beloved, and there he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take and eat this, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it with thanksgiving, he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many in a new covenant, which is the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me," he said. And so, whenever we eat this bread and share this cup, we remember his death and resurrection until he comes again.
Therefore, remember Jesus,
the mighty acts in Jesus Christ. We offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as our living and holy sacrifice, in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Oh,
Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cups that they might be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
May God, our Holy Spirit, heal us, that with Christ's love living in us, we might be the body of Christ, raised to new life, unafraid of death, with gentle courage to love the world. In the name of the Spirit of Christ. All glory and honor is yours, loving God, now and forever.
Gracious God, trusting in the presence of the risen Christ, in the power of resurrection, the power of love made real in Jesus' life and through this meal in our lives, we pray that we might do His will, as Jesus taught us, asking you always to teach us to pray. Our Father
in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The bread that is broken gives life that cannot be broken. The cup poured out fills us with love that cannot run out. This is the feast of resurrection. Come, for the table is ready. Because we have a little extra seats over in the Green Monster, you folks might want to accommodate as traffic comes around. So, Peter and Andrea, watch out. The body and blood of our crucified and risen Lord, keep you, guide you, and strengthen you now in eternal life. Let us pray. Gracious God,
we thank you for this mystery in which you have given yourself to us. May the resurrection of Christ be food for our souls. May the living presence of Christ be light for our feet. Having fed upon the eternal life of Christ, we give thanks that death no longer has dominion over us. Send us into the world to proclaim the good news, to live lives of love and healing, made new by your grace, and to devote ourselves to the healing of the world. In the name of the crucified and risen Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
sisters and brothers, beloved of God, Christ is risen, reigns over the world, and lives in your hearts. Be not afraid. Go as the people of the risen Christ and serve God with love and joy. Amen. And let your whole life be a joyous hallelujah.
Get the rhythm. I still have
it.